clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to?
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks.
Been a little while.
I'm Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
I'm Josh Lapping.
We're both old farts now.
That's true.
And 2023 is done. Happy New Year, everybody. Is it too late to say Happy New Year? Is there like a cutoff point?
Probably like right around now.
So this is the last time you're going to hear Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, like I said, it's been a little while. I know, especially for me, you... filled in for a second. I had your solo catch since I've been last with you.
Sole possession, yeah.
And here we go.
It's fun. NFL playoffs are here. I mean, how many times do we say we blink and the season's over and here we are, we're in the home stretch?
Ain't that just the way?
And then we head into your favorite season. Monday happened.
Pretty great.
Holy cow, man.
There's a lot. There are seven right now?
There's eight openings now, including the New England news that the Belichick is over. Now, we will, trust me, guys, we will dedicate an entire episode to the coaching vacancies, and we'll talk about, you know, the legacies of Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick, both of whom may end up coaching somewhere else next year. We don't know. But regardless, we will dedicate a whole episode to that. But this one is for Super Wild Card Weekend. Now, do you have a rant, rave, recall before we get into that?
Oh, man. Well, it's been like 3 weeks since I've been on, so... no.
Okay.
Can't think of everything that's happened.
So, I guess I already ranted about Aaron Rodgers, but I want to ask you, have you been tuned in to the stuff that's happened with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I have no idea. I know he said something about Jimmy Kimmel.
So, what happened was, we'll do this really quick, because this was my, this is my rant, and I'm going to do it really quick, because I want to get your perspective as the person who's been such the Aaron Rodgers fan his whole career.
Okay.
So Aaron Rodgers made a comment about the Epstein list that was supposed to come out, and some of it has gotten out in the last couple of weeks, and we're not here to relitigate that conversation. But Rodgers on Pat McAfee on ESPN made a comment about, I know some people are going to be, you know, really nervous for this list to come out, like Jimmy Kimmel, and I, for one, know that when that comes out, I'm going to be popping champagne. So he's like alluding to Jimmy Kimmel being on this list, right? Which, for those of you who don't know, is basically calling somebody a pedophile. And Kimmel spent his entire opening monologue just coming right at Aaron Rodgers for like this, like saying basically like, I don't find this funny that you would call me this. Like, I've gotten, my wife's gotten threats, my children have gotten threats. And like, he's right. It's a very serious thing to accuse somebody of. And then Rodgers and his pseudo-intellectual style went on McAfee and was like, I never said that, and I would never accuse you of that, so I don't know what you're talking about. And then went on this whole thing about how COVID was a hoax. And I was like, we're years out of COVID, and we're still talking about it. But, like, I guess the question I wanted to ask you is, like, does all this craziness that seemed to just keeps oozing out of Aaron in the last handful of years, is this, like, taint your love for him as the player that he's always been, or are you able to easily compartmentalize the two?
Yeah, no, I don't. I think we don't know these individuals as people, and not to say like that they're objects or just forms of entertainment, but I mean that they are stars in that regard, right? So in my opinion, I think Aaron Rodgers has had some personal flubs the last handful of years, but that doesn't take away from him winning the Super Bowl and me watching that, or him completing the miracle, or the Motown miracle on my birthday. So there are things like that I think we have to separate, in my opinion, and if anybody disagrees, I respect that and I understand that. To me, like, I can say, like, I don't like the behavior that you've shown the last handful of years, but that doesn't take away the enjoyment that I've had entertainment-wise from a quarterback for many years. That's, I don't want to say it's like this, but I think back when Michael Jordan is argued as the greatest basketball player, but then he had everything about the gambling or the walking away, and people were like, did that taint it? I was like, I don't think that taints the greatness that he put on the basketball court. So, for me, personally, the answer is no.
That's fair. I'll be interested to see if he returns and plays. I mean, he's going to try to return next year, but I will be interested to see how I will feel watching him, because I used to root for him like you do, because you're it's your favorite team and you're my best friend and I like to root for your happiness, right? And so I've rooted for him, you know, just by proxy with you for so long, and I wonder if it'll really make it hard for me, because it's so his act has gotten so old.
It's weird.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is not stupid, right? I think we all know that. But Aaron Rodgers thinks he's the smartest man in every room he walks into, and like, even if you are very intelligent, you're never the smartest person in the room, in my opinion. And especially when you're talking about things that, I don't want to get into this too much, but it's just he always thinks he's so smart, and it's so annoying because, we'll move on. I did a whole, on my Soul Possession episode, my rant was about Aaron Rodgers, and that's before all this extra stuff happened, so that's just hilarious. Anyway, let's get into Super Wild Card Weekend, Josh's best weekend in football.
It's a fact.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go through every game. We're going to go to keys to victory for each team, right? We'll do a quick overview of the game, and then we'll say, this is how we think X team wins, right, for each team. Now, what I did was I had some fun with ChatGPT, and I tried to come up with something that fit our show that worked for keys to victory, but wasn't keys to victory, right?
Okay.
And some of them were really silly. And then at some point, I kept just making it give me more options. At some point, it was just a bunch of sexual innuendos.
Nice.
It was like lapping's lap with Rossi. And it was like,
good. That's what it is.
It was like getting on the lap with Rossi and lapping. And I'm like, what?
That is what this segment is. We're getting lapping on the lap.
Lapping the competition.
We're getting on the lap.
All right. So getting on the lap for Super Wild Card Weekend. Some of them were way worse, and I don't have my that work laptop with me, so I'll look at them. But some of them were wild. So getting on the lap. Browns going to the Texans. CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans are the first rookie QB and coach duo to win their division in the history of the Super Bowl era.
Oh, wow.
Now, I thought that was crazy, too, but then I looked back on it because I was like, I know Sanchez and Rex made it. I know that.
Win the division, not yes, just it's make the division,
because I know Harbaugh and Flacco did it. I know that Matt Ryan, and I cannot. Why can I not think of the Atlanta head coach's name?
Mike Nolan.
Wasn't he the Chargers, or is it Mike? No, you're probably right.
Mike Nolan, because he had slick back, snow white hair.
Yeah. Regardless, so those QB coach combos made it, but it wasn't win the division.
Gotcha.
So they won the division, and then we've got the Joe Flacco led Cleveland Browns, forgot their name, in here. Well, they are a favorite. The Browns are favorited by 2.5 to 3 points last time I looked at the spread.
Well, that's surprising. Usually that goes to the home.
Yeah, but I don't you think it makes kind of sense?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still surprised.
All right, so let's go with the home team first. What are the keys to victory for the Texans? The Texans win because, in your opinion,
the Texans win because they get the ball to more playmakers than just Nico Collins.
That's a good point. I know they've really, really missed Tank Dell since he's been down.
Since he went down, and obviously Brown didn't play last week. I love Nico Collins. I'm really glad that he's starting to come on in his third year.
I should say you've been a Nico Collins guy since he came into the league. Yeah. So this is not like you jumping on the bandwagon. You were on him early, and he
and I've been really disappointed. And parts of it have been injury. Parts of it have just been, you know, they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
But to see what I thought could definitely be that potential come to fruition, I think is really, really exciting. I'm all for it. But I think for half the game, he was the only wide receiver with a catch.
Yes. I mean, it was pretty tough. I think Noah Brown is supposed to play. They obviously have Robert Woods. They have Dalton Schultz. Devin Singletary gets involved with the passing game. I think the Texans should be like our pseudo-podcast team because you were such a Nico Collins guy and you were right. And I was such a Tank Dell guy and I was right. And then also you were really high on Stroud and I was really low on Stroud. And then there was a little flop. So there's a lot of fun storylines of that. DeMeco Ryans was my favorite coach in the cycle. But yeah, I think that what I was going to say is that the Texans win if they don't play scared. Because if they try to play it too safe with C.J. Stroud, that pass rush of Cleveland is going to crush the kid.
Sure.
And C.J. Stroud is in the top five for most advanced metrics at quarterbacking, not just for rookie, just like period at quarterback this year. And you saw when they came out in a win-and-in situation against Indianapolis last week, first play, bomb, down the field, Nico Collins touchdown. It was awesome, right? That's the kind of team that needs to show up. Bobby Slowick, who's going to be a huge name in the – he's already been requested to interview for most of the 8 open head coaching vacancies. The offensive coordinator for Houston, for those of you who don't know, his name is Bobby Slowick. You can't come out scared. If you come out and just try to run, which they are not a very good running football team, like Singletary has definitely come on and sort of solidified as the guy in that role, and they still have Damian Pierce. They just don't use him a lot, which is so sad. It makes me so sad. But they don't really run the ball because when they do, it's not very effective, and they're certainly not going to be. I mean, you know, you never know what can happen in the playoffs, but you wouldn't expect it to be that great against this Cleveland team, right?
Well, this is a rematch from a few weeks ago.
It is
where Devin Singletary didn't get necessarily going against the Browns. He did okay. But like you were saying, it's difficult to – and if these defenders on the edge, Za'Darius Smith and Myles Garrett, if they can pin their ears back and race car, that will be difficult for the Texans, for sure.
I just think that what a lot of people are going to say is play it safe. Just take the easy stuff. And yes, I'm not saying don't do that. But I really think that if you do that, eventually the defense is going to – like you're not going to be able to score against this team. You have to take your shots. You have to play to your strength, which is C.J. Stroud going downfield to Nico and going up the seam to Schultz.
Sure. Absolutely. It's a two-way street, right? Because, of course, you want – and need to establish that you're not afraid to do that, but you also can't rely solely on that, right? I think the defense,
right, I'm not
especially
saying run
the back
four verticals
end,
every play.
Sure, they need to be like, hey, like we can do this intermediate thing, or we can have this run up for 4 yards up the middle, or whatever it is. But you absolutely need to, you know, I think even if it is incomplete, run the same play they did the first time. And if you see that Cleveland, Greg Newsom, whoever, Denzel Ward, if they're a little stickier on Collins than Indy was, then either overshoot it a lot or, you know, throw it out of bounds, something along those lines. Like, don't put it up for risk, but show that you're not afraid to run that route.
Yes, that's what I'm mostly concerned with. I'm saying the same thing a bunch of different ways, but that's exactly how I think of it. Now, Cleveland, for me, I almost want to say it's the same thing. You need to chuck it up with Joe Flacco because he's just been doing that. But I will say Joe Flacco, since he's became the starter, is leading the league in interceptions. So like he is just chucking it down the field and it's working a lot, but it's also getting him hurt sometimes. So for me, I think it's choosing picking the, I mean, these are kind of similar, but for me, it's picking the right moment to do it because Amari Cooper has been awesome and Joe Flacco is just absolutely
last time we saw Flacco to Cooper was Houston when that all happened. So actually it's fun that you bring that up. I appreciate that that's yours because my key to victory for Cleveland is you have to do it a different way. Yeah. We've seen Cooper come alive in the vertical game. Njoku's been really good deep.
D'Amico's going to lock in on those.
But
we need to
take it, dink and dunk. I don't care. You have to prove that you can win another way than throwing the ball 30 yards down the field.
Now, all that being said, who you got?
Oh, man. So I'm really sad. I'm really excited for this game. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really sad that these two teams met up in the first round because these were two teams I really wanted to watch.
These are two teams you would like to see their move on because they are two teams capable of winning a game. It's not like either of these teams backed their way and they earned their spot.
I am going to take the road team. I'm thinking Cleveland has – I just love their defense right now. Now, obviously, if Flacco gets them in trouble, that will be their bugaboo. That it will stop being bailed out eventually. So he has to make sure that that doesn't happen. Stefanski schemes up a really good game, but I am going to take the Browns in this one.
I'm also going to take the Browns. I really, really wanted to take the Texans to be like, yeah, CJ, that's right. You're my guy now. for those of you, I realize I'm assuming the listeners know our private text chain. During the game against Indy, I texted Josh and I was said, I think I'm just going to 180 entirely on Stroud and just be so overly complimentary of him now that I've been so wrong about him. So I really wanted to be like, Stroud, let's do it. And you know what? I'm not going to be shocked if that happens.
No, not at all. No.
This should be one of the better games of the weekend. But I just think the experience of Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper, this team is the most battle tested in the probably in the entire NFL. You win a game with four different starting quarterbacks. Never happened in the history of the league. It's just incredible what Stefanski's done with this team. If I have a vote for head coach of the year, it's Stefanski for me. Sure. I don't know what it ends up being for you. Obviously, we'll find out in a couple weeks. But I do think Cleveland wins like a 24-17 and 24-20 kind of game.
Okay, that sounds really good to me. I will say the wild card, if you will, of this game. I think at the beginning of the year, Houston's defense wasn't really clicking. Yeah, I think it's turned on the last handful of weeks. So.
Yeah, there will be people who judge this front office for what they did with the draft this year, no matter how good both of them are, right? But I said it at the draft when they did Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. I said, it's awesome. You call your shots. It's always a crapshoot in the draft. It's about 50% hit rate of first round picks, right? So you're tossing a coin. Call your shot on your guys, and they did, and they definitely got one, and I'm pretty confident they got two with Will Anderson too, who's also
been great.
So awesome. Now we go to the Peacock exclusive game on Saturday night. The Chiefs hosting the Dolphins. This is a fascinating one for a lot of reasons. One being the injuries of Miami, but also to the people they signed to replace.
It hurts my heart so much.
Houston and Bruce Irvin.
Man, it hurts my heart so much that one of my favorite defenders of this century, I might only get to see for one game in a Dolphins uniform.
Well, we don't know. But I saw that Xavier Howard has already been ruled out for this game. Waddle is questionable. So we'll have to monitor that. I think Mostert is good to play.
I'm not going to lie. I can't.
He might be. I was looking at it. I think he might be listed as questionable, but I think I saw a beat writer say that he would lean towards him playing.
Sure.
Obviously, guys like Mahomes and Kelsey and Pacheco like got a little bit of a rest last week because they didn't really need to play.
Yeah.
Key to victory for you. Let's start with the road team. Let's start with the Dolphins.
Key to victory for the Dolphins is
getting on the lap for the Dolphins.
Oh yeah, on the lap.
On the lap.
Is not letting the potential weather, mostly wind, impact the way that they want to play the game. They still need to stay true to their style, which is either pushing it down the field or doing a lot of quick things. So they can't become one-dimensional and just doing one or the other because of the weather. If that happens, I think this Chiefs defense is way too good to lock in and eliminate one thing. So if they're only doing one thing, not good.
I don't think that's wrong, but for me, it's run the football. Because when they stopped running it against Buffalo, that's when we started coming back.
Yeah.
Like, we could not stop Devon Achane. We couldn't stop him. And that was without Raheem Mostert, right? Like, with the two of them, I absolutely believe that they could grind out a victory. Everybody keeps telling the media that I've been seeing has been saying, like, Miami's going to have to win a shootout. And first of all, we know it's probably not going to be because of the weather. I mean, who's to say what it'll really be in 2 days?
Yeah.
But I really think that it's got to be Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr. grinding out a victory on the ground, because I don't think that Kansas City's defense that has definitely fallen off from the first month where we were like, they have a defense now.
They're still really good.
They're still very good, but they are not what I thought they were going to be heading into this run. Excuse me. I truly think that Miami can win this game if they don't force to do it all. Now, I have not lost faith in Tua. A lot of people have completely given up on him. They've dropped him down 3 or 4 or 5 tiers. They're comparing him to Brock Purdy, which some might think is a compliment. I think he's better than Brock Purdy, but that's a whole other that's a whole other conversation for another day. We'll tune into our offseason quarterback rankings in a couple months. I just think in this particular game with this weather, they got to commit to running the football, and I think they can. So that's my
say. That is not McDaniel's specialty, though.
No, but they have been a great running football team when they run.
They're
in the top 10 rushing team.
The whole and I'm so glad that he is Miami's coach. I am not like get rid of him, but Mike McDaniel is he's a Madden player. Like,
yeah, he can be running
really efficiently, but he's like, you know what? Like, I want this to be exciting. Let's go down the field.
God, and we love him for it. Key to victory for Kansas City for me is, I mean, I'm going to be super boring, but it's, are your wide receivers going to catch the football? Like, are we going to, is Travis Kelce going to take that, and Mahomes going to take that extra step that we have seen them do, right? Patrick Mahomes is literally statistically the greatest postseason quarterback we've ever seen so far in his career. And Travis Kelce is the number two pass catcher in every major category in the history of the sport. Pass catcher, not just tight end, right? So
in the postseason?
In the postseason, yes. Okay. Legitimately, I think only Jerry Rice is above him. I mean, it's pretty insane, the numbers. Regardless, for me, it's are they going to take that step up, and are these other guys, MVS, Tony, like, are these guys going to
even know if Tony's on the field.
Rashee Rice, Sky Moore, are these guys going to catch the football? Justin Watson, are they going to catch it, or are they going to make drops in key moments? I know that's super chalky, but that's what it comes down to for me. Because if they're going to drop passes and Miami's going to commit to the run, then I'm going to pick that upset. I people are like, it's the Chiefs, it's going to be easy. I do not see that in this game. I think that people are overreacting to the last couple of weeks where Miami's lost a couple of games, right? But while Buffalo absolutely outgamed Miami by a lot in that game, it was still an incredibly close game for the majority of that game. So I truly, I'm not going to overreact to that. I was terrified, and I told you, I was like, I do not want to play this team twice in a row because I'm scared of them.
Yeah.
And I, you know, maybe the weather will really ground a lot of what they want to do, but I just don't see it that way. If Kansas City cannot hold on to the football, they're going to lose this game.
Oh, man. That's a, I mean, it's hard to argue against that in terms of football logic. I think the lap for KC is, what are those pass rushers going to do? What's Chris Jones going to do? What is George Karlaftis going to do? If they can disrupt that enough where they put some things behind the sticks and force it depending on what the weather is, which I said is going to be a key. Miami has to play into that, right? They can't be afraid of it. But if it does impact, which things impact, right? Miami will be in store for a long game, because I think I know Tyreek's excited to go back to KC. That was his whole thing about going to Germany. He's like, oh, I wish we could go back to KC. Well, you're getting your wish now. Legere Sneed and all of those great corners. I love their cornerback room in Kansas City. They're going to make it tough for whatever pass catchers out there for Miami.
I'll go first. I do think they'll take a step up. Like, I'll be rooting for Miami because I just, like, I'm not rooting for Miami because I don't want to play them as Buffalo, because part of me does, like, because I know that if we win and KC wins, we play next week. And I know that in that event, everybody, including Nick Wright, is going to be like, the Bills just aren't going to be able to beat their demon. And, like, I want to see that happen so we can do it. But, like, I also really like this Miami team, right? And I really like Tua, and I really like Mike McDaniel. And you had asked me last week, you said, taking Buffalo out of it, what's your dream Super Bowl? And I said, I would want Miami to win it because I like that team and it's one of you and your dad's favorite teams, right? So I would like to see that for you guys. So I'm going to root for Miami in this game, but I think that it's Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce in the postseason, and it's just like Belichick and Brady and Gronk. You don't pick against that until they're done, right?
Yeah.
So I think they probably win. The weather, you know, is a huge thing. I still see both teams getting up in the 20s probably. So I think like 28-23 is probably the game.
That interesting. I think it's lower than that. I think.
I mean, it could be like 17-14 because of the weather.
I'm taking Kansas City, but Kansas City has been this last month. Kansas City is not what Kansas City was.
No, and I mean, I know that
lost to Vegas and Kansas City.
I'm just betting on the postseason bump. Sure.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you, but like to be like Kansas City is going to win 35. When was the last time Kansas City scored 35? So I'm
the
taking
Chicago
Kansas
the Chicago game, the first Taylor Swift game.
I am taking Kansas City. I do feel, you know, like I said, my favorite defender in the last 20 years is finally on the team, but that's for obviously a reason. I think Miami's dealing with too many injuries, which is, you know, that stinks, but it is what it is.
It's been
a good year for them, and it's definitely not impossible for them to win. Like,
no, of course
if Miami
not.
Wins, I'm not like,
of course not.
What God
most,
is,
most know? People will pick the Chiefs. I mean, we both just did, but it's not crazy to think Miami win. That's on Peacock, so make sure you guys have your logins for that, okay? Bill Simmons had one of my favorite comments where he was like, are we excited for the internet to lose their mind when they don't know where to find this football game? He was like, I'm convinced my dad's not going to realize it's on until halftime when he goes, oh, there's a game on? How do I watch it? We head to Sunday where the Buffalo Bills, now the 2-seed, host the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, 20-degree warmer temperature in Buffalo than in Kansas City. Isn't that fun? Balmy Western New York. The conditions will also be probably very tough in this game as well. This game is still scary. It's always scary when a team is heavily favored in the playoffs. But it's a little less scary knowing that J.J. Watt's not going to play.
Oh, sure. That absolutely helps. Yeah. Well, J.J. Watt was never going to play. But.
Oh, gosh. Dang it. T.J. Watt. no, what's so funny, though, is J.J. posted a thing and said, think people will notice, and he had photoshopped him into a Steelers jersey, and I thought that was very fun.
Oh, that's like if he went out?
Yeah, like 90. If he just like, hey, I'm T.J.
That's funny.
My key to victory for, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh first, is their ground game,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like Buffalo is susceptible to it. I told you, like I just said, regarding Miami. Miami was gashing us on the ground, and then they kind of went away from it a little bit. Now, I think that we made adjustments to slow it down a little bit, but they turned away from that. But Najee and Warren have really, really caught fire in the last month of football.
I think Mason Rudolph is obviously important.
Yes.
But it is those two backs is what propelled them to be at this point, in my opinion.
Mason's made a couple of plays downfield, which is great, right? But, like, it really, for me, has been the two of them as well. So if they can really commit to that, they can grind out a game against us and keep it close and hope that Josh Allen makes a mistake, which is not crazy to think would happen. So that's my key for them is grind it out, keep it close, hope that a mistake happens.
Yeah, for me, the lap is definitely the play of Pittsburgh's secondary because and obviously great job to Pittsburgh or to Buffalo, excuse me, to go on the run that they needed to go on. But outside of the Chargers game where Gabe Davis went off and had his Gabe Davis game, the downfield hasn't necessarily been clicking on a lot of cylinders. So if the secondary...
Yeah, we missed a huge deep ball in the New England game. I was there. It was coming right towards our end zone, and it was like 10 yards too deep. He missed a huge one in the Miami game that would have been like a 90-yard touchdown. So you're right. They've not connected.
Joey Porter Jr. and Minkah Fitzpatrick supposed to be back and the veteran presence of Patrick Peterson, if they can control and help limit that and force Buffalo to play small, which they've been very successful doing the last month, absolutely. But if they can make that happen and then, like you said, capitalize on some takeaway, they definitely can be in the game.
The over-under for this game is like 35.5, which is crazy to me. Like, I know conditions...
You think that's really high or low?
I think it's very low. I mean, I know the conditions are very bad, but I think both teams have a good running game. I think they're both going to be able to move the ball. And it's just about capitalizing on the red zone, and Buffalo is one of the best red zone teams in the NFL.
I don't know. Josh Allen needs to stop red zone turnovers.
Isn't that hilarious? Like, for those of you who, again, don't stand next to Josh and I when we talk privately, I had said to him, I saw a stat where they said Josh Allen hadn't had one turnover all season in the red zone, and the first time they got in the red zone against Miami on Sunday night, he threw a pick. Just insane. Regardless, yeah, key to victory for Buffalo to me is Josh Allen. I mean, he's 45 total touchdowns, right? He's got 86% of our total yardage and scores. I saw a stat. It's never happened in the history of sport where a player has accounted for the same or more percentage of touchdowns and yardage and didn't win MVP, which is, it's going to happen for the first time this year because Josh Allen's not going to win MVP. But, like, he's just is the offense. And if he's going to show up and be crazy and throw picks and fumble the ball, we're going to lose this game because Mike Tomlin's team is not going to make those kind of mistakes, in my opinion. And they're going to be able to run the ball and keep it away from us. And then if we get it and we're turning the ball over, we're going to lose the game, right? So for me, it's as if Allen can make his couple of plays that he does in the postseason because, I mean, he's been in his career an excellent postseason quarterback outside of 1.5 games, really. Yeah. I go to half of that Houston game in his first one where he kind of fell apart a little bit, and then I go to the Cincinnati game last year, right? Those are the only two moments where I can be like, he really wasn't good. The rest of it, he's been great, right? So if that Josh Allen shows up, then I think we should win this handily. But if he doesn't, it's going to be a really nerve-wracking Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. This isn't necessarily a lap, but I'm going to say it for the sake of the conversation, the thing I'm thinking about this game. It's that in utilizing Josh Allen, yes, but Josh Allen needs to stay healthy. This is – so it's actually kind of – the times that Pittsburgh has met Buffalo in the Josh Allen era – I'm pretty sure they're undefeated. I can't think of a time.
So last year.
Oh wait, no, I do remember.
Last year we crushed them, because it was another Gabe Davis game where he had the two huge touchdowns.
Yep. And then the year before, week one, we lost. I do remember that.
And then we lost like by 6 points.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah. So sorry, thank you for that.
No, that's fine.
But this is a team. So when I think of teams that they beat us in the
preseason this year.
when I think of teams that beat the Bills, I think of teams like the Jets once a year, the Pats once a year, and it's the teams that can be really physical with Josh Allen that aren't afraid. Because something I realized, I don't think I just realized it last Sunday, but Josh Allen is an awesome cheat code. It was in Miami when it was the 3rd and 13 play at the very end, and when he rolled out, and because he, for as big a guy as he gets, low and truncates, but defenders are afraid to hit him because it's hard to hit a quarterback, right? It's hard to hit a quarterback because you don't want to get penalties. And so, but like, there are just some teams, the Jets, New England, that they're just going to go smack him anyways. And when it gets cold and the body gets tense or something, if something happens where, even if it's not like, oh, I need to come out, but like, let's say he tweaks that shoulder or something and we've seen get uncomfortable, things like that, that's going to impact in a large way.
Before we both pick, you texted me after the 3rd and 13 and said, good game, pal. And I responded and I was like, yeah, it was a tough one, but good game. And
it did not technically end.
And
I turned it off.
I was furious with myself because what happened was we went down to 4th down. You stopped us and then you started driving to midfield. And I was like, I'm going to lose my mind.
I didn't even know that happened until the next day.
Because I never, and I forgot to tell you the next morning, but I never say good game until hit zero because I'm a Bills fan. And I said it. I broke my cardinal rule and I was furious with myself. But of course, we did finish it out with the Taylor Rapp interception. But yeah, I think Buffalo wins. I think Buffalo wins like 21-10. Yeah. And I know I just said that the over-under, well, I think, was too low, but that would be the under.
I'm also taking Buffalo. I think it's going to be – see, like, the fun thing about this game is it's either going to be really close or it's not going to be close at all.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be 28-16.
Okay, yeah, that'll be fine. That would be the over, so you should take it. Put like $5 on it. I'll get you the ESPN bet codes. You get like $5 $50 free bets.
Oh.
And it's actually awesome. So I'll give it to you. I actually really like ESPN bet. Yeah, I think it's that way too. And then it'll be possibly KC next week, which just would be crazy. So let's go to the second game. Your Packers are traveling on the road to the Dallas Cowboys.
Here we go.
My key to victory is Packers.
Your what?
My getting on a lap. For Rossi on the lap is, some of them were crazy, man. It was like Rossi's lap. I don't know. Anyway,
that's not crazy.
my thing for the Packers is just hope that Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys are Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. No, I'm just kidding. So I saw this. Wow, I'm saying the running game a lot, but I'm not going to say the running game this time. But my stat is about the running game. So do you know the three running backs who have the most yards per carry on average against Dallas are Walter Payton, number 3, Barry Sanders, number 2, and Aaron Jones, number 1.
He
crushes the Cowboys when he plays them. But my answer is not Aaron Jones. My answer is LaFleur and spreading the ball around. This offense, and you mentioned it, only scored 17 against Chicago. Chicago, who's been playing really well defensively since they traded for Sweat. You mentioned this. Love was in complete command of that offense against Chicago, spreading the ball around. We're talking about Dontavian Wicks scoring. We're talking about Jaden Reed down the field. We're talking about Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, and yes, Aaron Jones. Romeo Doubs went out. I don't know his status for the game. I don't know Christian Watson's status for the game. He's been out. But even if those guys are in there, spreading the ball around and just making sure Dallas and Dan Quinn never know who is going to be the one they need to hone in on. And not a lot of teams can do that. Like, they're very, very young, and that's the weakness of Green Bay, is they're not battle-tested in the postseason. But all of these young receivers are great, and I told you, it's my favorite receiver group in the entire NFL. I like every single receiver from Reed to Doubs to Watson to Musgrave to Kraft to Wicks, to Heath. To Bo Melton, a former Seattle Seahawk, right? Love all those players. If Love and LaFleur can diagram a game plan where every single one of those players is a threat, then this is a prime upset territory for me. I don't want to give away what I'm picking or not, but if that can happen, I'm really sorry for my Dallas friends, but this could be another, oh my God, Green Bay just beat us in the postseason game.
Yeah, my lap to victory for Green Bay is you're playing with house money. Yeah. Go do it, you know? This was you started 2-6 and you were like, "Well, Love stinks. You guys failed. You flopped for the first time in 20 years and it's over. Good job." And we talked about it. I think probably after the Vegas game, maybe it was a few weeks after that, but LaFleur was coaching scared. They wouldn't let Love operate. It was all just very, very unimaginative and uncreative and just controlled. So, you know, you made it here, which is great. You did what you couldn't do last year with Aaron Rodgers, where you had to win back-to-back divisional games to get it done. Yeah, I don't feel like there are probably a lot of people giving the Packers a chance, so why not just go fling it? Go do what you did against Dallas or Detroit on Thanksgiving and just chuck it.
This season is already a success.
Yeah.
You saw Jordan Love was awesome. 32 touchdowns, only like 8 interceptions or something like that, right? Like over 4,000 yards. Like he's already he's the guy now, right? This is already a successful season, and you're only going to get better as those very, very young weapons on offense get better and better, and then hopefully you fix your defense, which has so much talent on it, but has been a little bit better the last couple of weeks. For the Cowboys, it's attack over the middle, because Dak Prescott's favorite thing to do is throw the football over the middle. He's the best in the NFL at it. I actually think I would put money on Dak Prescott being the best quarterback throwing up the seam. I mean, I just think that he is so good at it. And CeeDee Lamb is almost unstoppable on option routes that are like slants over the middle. So I think that you should just throw that every play. Just every play. and you'd probably win. So for me, it's attack over the middle, because Green Bay also terrible at covering over the middle.
Yeah, so in terms of Dallas, because I have no idea what I'm just thinking of. If I was Joe Barry, what am I trying to do? And that is, which we've seen the pass rush come alive the last handful of weeks, is you got to win at the line. And I don't mean just offensive line protecting Dak Prescott, which is obviously important, but it is, I don't know if he'll have their corners play more press and try to jam the line to disrupt those CD route lambs and whatnot. But they got to, if you get off of that, then they'll eat all day for sure.
This is my sneaky closest game of the week. I think this one's going to be really, really good. And I know that I'm either going to sound really stupid or really smart. I think this is going to be like, you know, it's in a closed stadium. It's going to be okay. I think it's going to be like 35-32.
Oh, man.
Cowboys, though. I think the Cowboys get it done.
All right. So, you know, I'm down. Yeah. I'm down in the picks and whatnot. So you got to got to pick outside games at some point. I think actually my funny thing about this is we'll see what uniform they wear.
Oh,
if they wear
okay.
the green uniform, if they wear their home green yeah. uniform, they're going to win.
I love it so much, man. Do they not announce it? Because they.
Oh, I don't know.
Because Buffalo posted today what they're wearing. I wondered if like all
it's,
teams
it's
do
probably
it on
out there somewhere. Yeah. So this could be completely moot. If they go into Dallas, which most of the games I've watched Green Bay go into Dallas, they wear
those green uniforms.
If they do it, they will win the game.
It's gonna be Jordan Love rolling out to the left, throwing across his body to Musgrave on the sideline. He makes a. Oh man.
I think I'm gonna go with a score of 28-24.
If that happens and the Packers win, I don't think Mike or my cousin tune in the rest of the season to Sabotage, guys. So, we'll see what happens. Capping off Sunday night, we've got the Detroit Lions hosting the LA Rams.
Oh, man. I'm so excited for this.
This is a super fun game. I think outside of Buffalo, this is the one I'm most looking forward to watching. Revenge games all across the board. Although I think, Mina Kimes made this point on her podcast. I think that their only player or the only person who it's a true revenge game for is Goff.
Sure.
Because, like, Stafford left on good terms and they were very nice and, like, but legitimately, Jared Goff was the one that was cast aside for Matt Stafford. Now here he is hosting him in Detroit. And the key to victory for me is the Detroit.
Hey, I don't want to cut you off.
Sorry, the getting on the lap. For...
No, I don't want to cut you off before, okay. But.
They're wearing the green uniforms.
Wearing the home
it's
uniform.
Over. Sorry, Dallas.
They're going to win the game. Sorry,
Dallas. Sorry,
everybody. Green Bay's coming in. They're going to do it.
This is science. I mean, this is what it is. Am I getting on the
lap? I
don't
know why Dallas would let that happen.
My getting on the lap for Green Bay is wear the green jersey. So it's over. But my lap for Detroit is the defense. Can the defense put pressure on Matt Stafford? Which Matt Stafford has actually looked pretty mobile the last month where they've gone 7-1. Matty Wheels, right, was the
yeah,
actual. That was the original.
Okay.
Yikes. Good job, everybody. He has been mobile, and he's moved around. Kyren Williams missed 5 games this year.
Oh, my
and
God.
And he still finished 3rd in rushing.
So
I
good.
Mean, so good. You've got Cooper
so
Kupp.
Efficient.
Obviously, you have Puka Nacua, who – did you see the mic'd up of Sean McVay once he got the record? He literally didn't even, like, cheer. He just, like, put his – he's like, get him out now. Get him out. Get him out. Pull him out of the game. Get him out. It was very funny. So if this Detroit defense, which obviously has Aiden Hutchinson, right – if they can get pressure on Matt Stafford, then I think this game gets very, very close. But if they don't, I think it gets worrisome for Detroit.
Sure. I don't know who stops who in this game necessarily. I think what team did we go with first? We're talking lap for.
I was talking about Detroit. Yeah, I was talking about Detroit's
so
pass rush.
For Detroit, it is just keep doing what you've been doing. And that is being really efficient in moderate range, right? Where when we've seen those routes in the – and what I mean by that is like the 15 to 20. If they aren't efficient in that area, if that gets slowed down, Detroit has – whenever that's happened, it's just bogged down completely everything. So you need to be able to operate in that zone, in that area, because the whole offense just clicks a lot better when that is playing well. I don't know what the health status of Sam Laporta is because I feel like that's really huge.
I don't think he's going to play.
I would be pretty shocked if he did.
They did not say he's out, but I think – what they're doing is really holding on hope
that he can come back later.
Yeah, but I don't think he's gonna play. Yeah.
That is pretty sad,
and I think it's huge for them.
That is, it is huge. But they have I can't even think of their backup's name. I was thinking of Johnny Mutt, who is the backup.
Johnny Mutt
in Minnesota
for my getting on the lap for the Rams is also defensive side. You had made the point a couple years ago that Aaron Donald wasn't really playing like Aaron Donald. I actually think this year he's absolutely been the Aaron Donald that we all think of, and I don't think people have noticed. I think that he really, really has returned to like that dominant form of Aaron Donald. And so for me, it's can you push that pocket right up the middle into Goff's face and make it really, really terrible for him to face his own team? If you can do that, again, it's, I know that my laps for both teams are pressure on the quarterback, but I think it really comes down to that because I think both quarterbacks, while I think Stafford handles pressure way better than Goff does, that pressure right up the middle for Goff is... it basically is kryptonite. When Jared Goff is pressured, Jared Goff is Jared Goff. And when he's not, he's Jared Goff. So if Aaron Donald...
we all knew exactly what he meant.
You did. If Aaron Donald puts the pressure up the middle, the Rams are going to win this game.
Yeah, so mine is actually a little bit different. So I'm glad that you say that. This, I think a reason that maybe people haven't talked about Aaron Donald is because I think mostly as a whole, the defense hasn't been great because there's a lot of no-name players right now. Yeah. So they've improved. I really like Ernest Jones there in the middle. He's young and he's not perfect. He gets a lot of tackles, but that's also because some things aren't perfect there. We've had a couple of the young corners step up, but we need somebody to step up big time other than Aaron Donald. I don't think Aaron Donald can do it by himself, so we need to see at some point one of those guys either, you know, make the swatting pass. It doesn't have to even be, it doesn't need to be a pick six. That it doesn't need to be that extreme, but we need to see that them not be a liability, be like, oh, they just helped make that happen.
So I said Stefanski's my coach of the year. Number two, actually, I would put McVay. And I think Les Snead should be the executive of the year after all those late picks that he hit. Not just Puka and Kyren, but we're talking about other players on defense that are making an effort. There's a guard that they drafted, too, that's been awesome for them, right? So, like, the two of them have hit it out of the park this year for them. And they've also actually got picks in cap room next year. So
for the first time in a while.
This team, it's crazy.
Pretty exciting.
So I do believe that. This is my upset. I'm going with the Rams in this one. I think the Rams win like a 24-20-21 game, that kind of thing. So I'm going with the Rams in the upset.
This one hurts a little bit. I mean, just thinking about all the things that are part of this game, right? The Lions finally making it as in the seed that they are. I know it's wild card weekend, but they're not a wild card. They finally have their first banner. Then the kid that they drafted number one overall is coming back a Super Bowl winner with that team. It's tough. You know, I think the, so here we go. This is a little messed up. I think the Rams are going to win, but I'm picking the storybook Lions.
Okay. All right. If the Rams win and Jared Goff plays poorly, do they move on from Jared Goff next year?
I don't know if
he's in a contract year.
So I don't know if they move on. It obviously depends on what contract negotiations and things will look like. If Goff is going to want, and maybe, I mean, he's getting up in age where he's going to want like a really long-term contract, then probably if they can do something like a two-year contract, I think he stays because I don't know if I believe that Detroit feels good enough in Hendon Hooker to just be, and they could maybe look somewhere else in free agency, but I don't know if I see them getting a quarterback. And there's going to be a lot of great ones, but there's know if I see them getting that quarterback with this pick here. So it's going to be so fascinating to watch. I don't think they move on from him, though.
If Goff and the Lions win and Goff plays great, he gets a big-time contract extension. That's my prediction. If that happens.
Okay.
I think they're going to be like, okay, well, this is 2 years now of us being pretty good. We just won the division. We just won a playoff, our first playoff game, like, ever. I actually don't know. Have they ever won a playoff game? Like, did they? Because I don't believe they won with Barry Sanders, and I know they didn't with Matt Stafford. So, like,
I'm sure at some point in history. One
playoff game, right? Yeah. So if that happens and he plays well in this game, he absolutely gets an extension. So that's my opinion. All right. Last game of the Super Wild Card Weekend. We've got the Eagles traveling to Baker Mayfield, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Baker.
Hosting it. My key to victory for Philly is wake the heck up, dude. Like, so their offense is banged up. Hurts should play. They said that A.J. Brown's injury was, quote, not serious, end quote.
He hasn't practiced this week,
though. Darius Slay said he will play on Monday night, which I think is also huge. Whether or not he returns to his form that he was early in the year and from last year.
Hasn't been big play in quite a while.
It is to be said. But really, it's just like, is this team going to wake up and you know, be that 10-1 team, or, you know, the team from last year, which was better even than the 10-1 team, I should say. Or are they going to be this team that loses to the New York Giants last week and just, like, got crushed, right? I don't know. But for them, it's just, can they snap into form? I know that's small and simple, but, like, it really is that, because their defense has not been good. And they're not injured on the defensive side. They're all healthy on that side of the ball. Brandon Graham is not played like the Brandon Graham that we know. Jordan Davis has been bad this year, even though he was great last year. I think that Carter has been good in stretches, and he's probably their best pass rusher right now, but even he has been playing that well. Obviously, I said Slay is going to play, but is he going to be a big play Slay, like you just said? Sidney Brown, their other corners out. Like, they're mostly healthy on the defense, and they've just not been good. Now, their offense has been, you know, very inconsistent, but they still have the pieces, I think, as long as they play. But they've been more injured on that side. So for me, somebody said they should just do the tush push every play and see what happens, because it seems to be the only thing that they're good at right now. But for me, can they snap out of it, or is this just who they are? Because if it is, then this could be another upset.
It absolutely is. I don't even know if it'd really be considered an upset now, really, that much. I mean, obviously they have a little bit better of a record, but they're also on the road. I could have said this about Miami. What I'm saying about Philly is my lap is stop playing Madden. Now, I haven't watched a lot of Philly during this rough spurt as a whole. I've tuned in for a couple minutes to watch this, or this. I think they still run the ball pretty darn well. Yeah. But then they get so excited about, oh, we have A.J. Brown, who's so good down. We have Devontae Smith, who is so good. Let's keep throwing the ball way down. Just stop. Just, you know, every time I've seen Jalen Hurts run, it's for like 6 or 7 yards. When I've seen Swift, you know, he's picking up 4 or 5. Just win ugly. You don't need to be like, hey, like, look, we're Philly, we're doing it all sexy anymore.
I agree.
Just win ugly.
If they're gonna win this game, I do think it's a huge Hurts and Swift game. I agree with that. Now for the Buccaneers, I will say this: Jalen Hurts has struggled against the blitz this year. And Todd Bowles, oh boy, does he love to blitz. So if the Buccaneers are going to win, they're going to have to blitz the hell out of Hurts and just hope that they don't connect on too many big shots to Brown and to Devonta. So that's it for me. Are Bowles' blitz going to be beneficial? Look at that alliteration.
Oh, man.
That's what it is for me for them.
Alliteration. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, I expect Baker to be fine. Baker was pretty good in both of his playoff appearances with Cleveland, right? So I don't expect him to. Now, he hasn't been that great the last couple of weeks. I read you the one tweet where it's like, Baker needs to be doubted to be good. Like, the second that Baker's a front runner and people believe in him, it's like he just loses all of his power. He has to be doubted.
Which is, like, just weirdly true.
It's hilarious. But I don't expect him to be bad, right? I expect Mike Evans to be good. I expect Godwin to be good. So for me, is Bulls blitz going to really hit home?
Sure. That is absolutely, I mean, I guarantee when we watch Monday night, I don't think ESPN does it as much as like the, where they do like funny things like Charles's clues or whatever. They don't do those things, but like, they'll absolutely talk about that blitz that is going to be so, so huge. For me, it is about Baker, and you know, this isn't a reflection of the last handful of weeks or saying he lost or anything, but when I think of swag and moxie, like, I don't know if there's a quarterback more than Baker Mayfield. He needs to play with confidence. Like, if he's feeling a little bit off from either last week or whatnot, where they struggled a little bit against Carolina, they didn't score an offensive touchdown. If that carries over at all and there's just something a little off with the mojo, I don't think they do this. But if Baker comes out and thinks and believes, and I know that, and that's not to say like he's gonna be out there and be like, oh, I can't do it. That's not, I don't think any professional athlete probably does that, but especially not him. But if that is just happening, I don't think they win.
Do you think that Baker's already solidified coming back as a starter next year, or do you think it matters what happens in this game?
Oh, interesting. I mean, he's played really well this year, and not a lot of people have talked about it. I think it depends on what, kind of similar to what I said about Goff, what Baker wants. If Baker's like, look what I did, I want a $50 million guaranteed contract, the Buccaneers can be like, no, I'm sorry. But like, if they're like, you've been through a lot, we brought you here, we believed in you, meet us halfway, I can see him sticking around.
Or he could just complete the triple crown of the NFC South and just
go to Carolina.
Go to Atlanta next year. Or New Orleans. Both of them could use a quarterback. So here's the thing. I believe that what's probably going to happen is a return to reality and Philly wins this game. But I'm going what you did, and I'm reversing it, and I'm picking Baker.
Okay.
I'm going to pick Baker, and I'm going to pick the Buccaneers. I'm going to pick the Buccaneers to win 20-17.
Ooh.
Last second, Baker drive, field goal, win the game.
I was going to say, if Rashad White runs the way Saquon did last week, absolutely. But I'm picking Philadelphia here.
I think that's the most likely scenario is they kind of figure this out, and they run the ball. Swift's great. Hurts is great. They hit a couple big plays against the blitz, and it's fine. They move on. Everybody's like, see, Philly's fine, right? That's probably what happens.
Maybe.
But I'm gonna pick Baker and the Bucks and Bulls on the blitz.
Oh, I just had a mind orgasm
on the lap. Anyway,
we have fun.
I think we should do friends' fortune in front of each other because I have a fun one.
All right, go ahead.
So I think I have not gotten one all year. I think I'm landing the perfect amount of bold for this one.
Let's go.
I think this is the right amount. It could happen. So there are two crazy weather games this weekend, right?
Okay.
Kansas City, Miami.
Yep.
Buffalo, Pittsburgh, right?
Okay.
They're the smallest over-unders of the week as well. I think one of the two games, so I'm not going to pick my shot on which one. That's the two bold, I think.
Okay.
But one of the two games that everybody expects to be crazy and not high scoring because of the weather, one of those two will be the highest scoring game of the weekend.
Will be the highest scoring game of the whole
of the entire Super Wild Card weekend.
Okay.
I think that's the perfect amount of bold for Friends Fortune because it is bold to say one of those would be, but sure. I'm not picking one of them. I'm saying one of the two will be it.
Sure. All right. I have to go. I'm checking something. All right. I'm saying that I'm going to the Sunday night. And I'm going to say, I know he showed flashes last year after TJ Hockenson went down. Brock Wright is going to have over 100 yards receiving a touchdown.
I like that. I liked Brock Wright a lot. Detroit, I picked him up. And
it's going to say, I don't care who's my tight end. We're getting him the ball.
He does like to throw to the tight ends.
Wright's going to have 100 yards and a touchdown.
I like that. Yeah, guys, just so you know, Run Your Pool's not over. Pal's Picks might be over, but Run Your Pool is not over. The playoff games are worth 2 points. So you can catch up very quickly. Now, my friend who is at the table that I DM for D&D.
Are they still the first
Jenny
place?
Jenny is in first place.
Let's go, friend.
And I am a couple games behind her. But everybody is within, you know what I mean? Like, you get a couple upsets in the postseason here. Every game is worth 2 points. So you can catch up. You can make up ground very quickly. And again, like I said, if you've been missing picks, you're still in it because it auto-picks the favorite every week. So you could still be in it. So make sure you check that out
right now.
Awesome. Make sure you check that out. Simultaneous Catch on Instagram, Simult Catch on Twitter. Whoever wins the pick'em pool, you get the, I was going to say paraphernalia, but
wow. Oh my God.
You get a team apparel item of your choice. So anything else, pal?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, you glossed over it there, which is nice and sweet of you, but, yeah, good job with picking games this week or this year, man. Got the crown back.
Yes. You know, last year was definitely not a fluke. You were awesome last year. I could not get you on any games last year.
I didn't even do what we did last week. Sorry.
Found my weak spot. But yeah, so you get me in fantasy and I get Pal's Picks.
Very good.
We won our fantasy league.
Oh,
guys,
man, we did.
We won our fantasy league. This is the first time we've been in the title game Simultaneous Catch once before, I think. It was like our first or second year.
I'm not positive about that.
But regardless, we did win our fantasy league this year. So if you're one of those people listening, it was a lot of fun being in the league with you. I'm excited to hopefully return next year. We'll see what happens. But it was really, I think we really crushed it this year. Like just trades and transactions we made, even though, you know, we missed out on Kyron Williams week one. We talked about how much to spend on them, right? Like we missed out on that. Bijan had this weird in between where it was like really bad. Like we faced some adversity, but we made some really smart trades in this league. I think
so. Yeah. For sure. I'm proud of the work we did. It was a crazy drunk playoff run.
Oh, it was
totally
nuts.
Weird where we just couldn't get a kicker or a defense to save our life.
Kicker was terrible. Defense. And then we got our defense the last week, though. Buffalo scored 15.
Oh, that's true. They definitely helped there. Definitely helped us there, for sure. I'm glad we didn't move off of them after what we thought was going to be a great LA.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, I think we did really well there.
That's awesome.
So that was exciting and cool.
Well, guys, thanks for listening to the show. Like I said, Josh dubs this best weekend in football, even though a lot of people say divisional weekend
is trash.
The last couple of years, so we'll see what happens.
It's trash that people think that.
I wish all your teams best of luck, unless you're a Steeler fan. I'm so sorry. Otherwise, thanks for listening to Simultaneous Catch, folks. God bless.